Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener finally finds out who is the ghostly man in her bedroom. A deceased grandmother may still be trying to communicate through a typewriter. And an entity appears to be confused when asked the name of his town. His reply was the name of a town that existed 100 years ago. And a couple finds that they cannot be certain if each one is playing a trick on the other or if they had an encounter. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hello.
I made it.
You did.
I had that tickle in the back of my throat the whole time I was reading that.
Like, you were pushing, I could tell.
Like, take a pause. Take a little pause. You're like, what is he doing? What's wrong with you? Just, you know, trying to get through it. I'm okay.
So, it's a really nice day outside.
It is. It is gorgeous out there.
Yeah.
Which is good, because now it's time to start mowing the lawn again. Mm-hmm. And for all the allergy stuff to come back and for strawberries. So
yeah,
you take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about it. Yeah, I'm excited for some of these stories here today, too. They're looking mighty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And some calls on today's show as well. Of course, if you have a real ghost story you'd like to share with us, give us a call, 855-853-4802. Or, of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. I'm going to take a moment to try and get my my throat better and voice better and go to a call first, and then we'll go to reading some of our stories here on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Jesse from Southeast Iowa. I thought I ran out of paranormal or supernatural stories to tell, but I've had a light-hearted story to tell, which is pretty interesting. Ever since I've been married, and I shouldn't say that, ever since the new year, I've been seeing these white, puffy, the best way to describe them, they look like a white veil that's very, very, a white veil that almost has a glare to it, and it goes by super fast and it's gone. And for the past few months, I'm like, man, it's got to be a glare. I mean, they pop out at random. It's almost every other day or once a week I see this, like, abnormality, I guess that's the way to put it. And I'm thinking, man, it's got to be my contacts or, you know, or it's a weird glare. Something's not right. Well, my mother-in-law, brother-in-law, my wife, and I went out to Chinese after church last Sunday. And my wife's dad, he had to stay behind the church. He wasn't there, but he missed out an interesting conversation. We got on the topic of kind of like ghosts, demons, and angelic stories, and my in-laws are very open people, you know. I mean, they're not totally comfortable like with ghost stories per se, but they're acute with spiritual warfare, you know. And we got on this topic and started me share my story and that demon Missouri, and it went through, and then we started getting the lighter stories, and my mother-in-law mentioned, you know, I see these little white puffs occasionally. I always like to think they're angels. And my immediately get a big smile on my face. I'm like, I see those too. And my wife goes, yeah, I see those too all the time. I'm like, you never told me that. And I was kind of bummed she didn't share that. But she's like, well, I didn't, you never asked me. So I don't know. It's just very interesting how I see these things. I mean, it's really random. Like, I do timber management, which involves me with a chainsaw, and I'm cutting down certain, like, trees are not really that great for young, and they're going to make, like, browse for wildlife and leave the timber more open for more wildlife value trees like white oaks and whatnot to prosper. And so it's a dangerous job. I think my last story, I don't know if you guys got it yet, I lost my friend Keith last year. So it's a dangerous job. I almost got my leg cut off by a chainsaw last week, actually. So, yeah, anyway. But the days I see those little white puffs, it's like everything goes great. Now, the day I almost got my leg cut off, it was just a scratch. Luckily, my pants caught it in time, and I was really scared. But I was like, oh, thank you, God. But anyway. So, but most of the time, everything goes great. But, yeah, this is very, and I'm not alarmed. I'm not actually calling them. Just like, huh, what was that? So anyway, not sure if anyone else see him or not. You know, I'm a Christian, so maybe God has his, you know, angels watching out for us, and it's like, why not? You know, it's kind of cool. Anyway, guys, I am totally going back through all your old shows. I love them all, and I'm favoriting them all, so I just enjoy the best of the best, and they're all favorited because they're so, all of them are so good. So you guys are doing a great job, and keep up the great work. Talk to y'all later.
I can't help but wonder if maybe there was some kind of guardian entity that kind of watched over his wife's family and mm-hmm. the members within, and now he's included in that.
It's like the ghosts adopt the incoming members to the family?
Yeah, because he said it's really only been since they got married that he's seen that, and then everybody else in his family, or, you know, everybody else on her side, it seems like, mm-hmm. says they see that.
I could see that. That's an interesting observation. And an interesting thought on that topic. I don't think we've ever, like, really discussed that idea before.
Mm-mm.
Do you think it's possible for, I mean, along those lines, for then someone to, like, obviously, if they're starting to see these sort of things, did they develop an ability? Was an ability given to them? Or is this just, like, one of those things where it's just so apparent that almost anyone's going to be seeing it? You know what I mean?
Right. You know, I don't know. Knowing the stories we've had from Jesse, he's had stuff happen for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a new thing to him. I just think this particular entity is new to him.
Okay. I get where you're coming from. That's a really, I think, accurate observation. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Deanna writes in, I discovered your podcast about a week ago when I was looking through the new upgrades to Spotify. I've always had the fascination with the supernatural and the unknown. When I was in grade school, I was the only one in second grade checking out the books about Bigfoot and ghosts and such. Grew up in a house where I had a dimmer light in the bedroom that was left on low due to my younger brother being scared of the dark. Every night I'd wake up and I'd see a scruffy-looking guy with a beard and a ball cap standing in the middle of the bedroom. I was never afraid of him. Quite honestly, he made me feel loved and at peace. The house was owned by my mom's mother, who had moved into an apartment so that my parents could move in with their growing family. We lived in that little two-bedroom pink stucco house until I was 11 years old, at which time we moved into a larger house so that my brother and I could have our own rooms as we were getting older and both required a bit more privacy. When we moved out of the house, I lost my nighttime protector and friend. I felt as if a part of me was missing for a very long time. I'd sometimes talk to him when I was much younger. I never remember him answering me. Just always listened and remained quiet and watchful. When we moved out of the house, my grandmother moved back in. I'd go and spend the night sometimes, but I never saw my nighttime friend after I moved out. When I was about 27, my grandmother was in a nursing home, and my mom and I went to her house to take care of a few things. In the process of cleaning, we found some pictures. While going through them, one picture stood out of a short, scruffy man in a button-up shirt and a ball cap holding a baby. The man in the picture was my nighttime childhood visitor. I was shocked that I was actually holding proof of his existence. I showed the picture to my mother and asked who he was, and she told me that he was a boyfriend of my grandmother's who had passed away in the house. The baby he was holding in the picture was me. He'd been an alcoholic for a good portion of his life. After my birth, my parents told him if he wanted to be a part of my life, he had to sober up and stay sober, or he'd never be able to see me. Guess what? He got sober and stayed on the straight and narrow just to be in my life. Sadly, the damage had already been done to his liver. He passed away in that little pink stucco house when I was 2.5 years old. He laid down one day and did not wake up. My mom said that he used to babysit me and would take me for walks and tell everyone that I was his granddaughter. He was so proud of me and loved me so much. I guess even in death, he still loved me so much that he just could not walk away. I sometimes wish I could see him just one more time to tell him that he is in my heart and that I'll always love him and I'll always cherish the love that he had for me. When I have no memories of him, while he was alive, those countless nights I spoke to him while he stood in my bedroom watching over me are memories that I'll always hold close to my heart. Casey, could you please play?
You were sounding more and more like him. And I was wondering if you were doing that on purpose.
Actually, it's not to discount the story by any means. I have this thing where when I have this time of year with this tickle in my throat, with the allergies, for whatever reason, when I try and read a story or try and deliver lines out loud, if I had a certain cadence to my delivery, I cough less.
Okay.
So I don't know what it is. I don't know how to describe it. I feel like the words might be slightly shorter than normal, but it does come across like that.
I was just thinking you sound like Casey Kasem today.
There was one time I had pretty bad bronchitis, and I was trying to do a morning show, and I sounded a very much. It was scary.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was dead on. I'm like, wow, all I need to do is like really be ill and I'll sound like Casey Kasem. So I don't know. Interesting story though.
Oh yeah, it's a sweet little story. I really like that one. And you know, it says a lot that she never felt threatened. You know, obviously there was this man she doesn't remember ever knowing that showing up in her room at night, but she never got a bad feeling from it. So I'm glad she was finally able to put the two pieces together and figure out who it was.
Do you think she didn't get a bad vibe because it was one of those kind of unspoken things where it's like almost, for a lack of a better term, kind of like telepathically communicated that this is an okay person, that you know this person? I don't know. I mean, because why would you not be, you know, somewhat frightened and scared of a person that you don't know that's showing up in your room at night?
I think it's more of a how does this person, you know, what kind of energy do they radiate?
Sure.
Even in life.
Okay.
You know, you've got people that you just get a bad vibe on.
Sure.
And you've got people that you have no bad vibe on.
Sure.
That's not to say that, you know, you can't get a good vibe on a bad person too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just was the type of person he was. He just didn't put out bad vibes.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's true. Thanks for sharing your story. 855-853-4802, our number. Lisa writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Lisa, and I'm from Ireland. When I was in university, I lived in a house that had belonged to my great-grandparents. They lived there and raised a family, including my grandmother, and she in turn had a family and raised them in the same house. My mom lived there until she was about 7. So I was in the fourth generation to live in this house. My best friend at the time used to come down and visit me fairly often there. Were two single beds in my room, so we slept in my bedroom and would talk before going to sleep. She came from a big family, and I guess they weren't that concerned about making noise if they had to get up in the night to use the bathroom. One night I heard her get up and leave the room and go into the bathroom. She turned on the lights and basically woke me up being so loud. So I buried my head in the blankets and tried to go back to sleep. After a little while, it occurred to me that she was taking ages to come back and turn off the lights, and I was about to call out and tell her to hurry up because the lights were too bright, and I hear her footsteps crossing the landing and coming into my room and stopping at the other side of the room. I was starting to get annoyed because she still hadn't turned out the lights and I wanted to go back to sleep. So without taking my head out from the blankets, I asked her if she'd turn off the lights and get into bed, please, and just stop standing there. The very second I'd finished talking to her, I heard the toilet flush, and she came back into the room and asked what I'd said. I didn't say anything to her because I was freaked out, and I didn't want to freak her out, too. I thought ignoring the whole thing was better. That's one of the many things that have happened while I was living in the house. I'll write in with more. I really enjoy listening to the show. Thanks, guys."
That's just not a situation you want to have.
The middle of the night, the mystery person?
Yeah, you're trying to wake up enough to tell them to turn the light off, and they're in the bathroom. That's not good.
Yeah, that's a little bit too close for comfort with the undead right there. Thank you for sharing that experience and story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Julie has a story. In 1987, I graduated and moved to Florida to be a nanny. My grandmother, whom I was close to, had a big disagreement prior to my leaving, and we didn't speak for 6 weeks. I received a letter in the mail from her and put it on my dresser, still too stubborn to open it. My grandma had spent her entire life writing poetry and was working on a book when she died in a car accident, and I regretted the argument, not writing all my wrongs. 1 year later, I went home to visit my dad. My grandfather was out of town, and my dad, my brother, and I all stayed at my grandparents. We locked everything up tight and went out to run errands. When we returned, we went to the back door. It's a sliding glass door that my grandparents always used as their entrance and exit. The sliding glass door was open about 12 inches, and my dad asked if we had locked it. My brother said he had, and I answered that I'd also checked the door. The next day, the same thing happened. My dad had checked the door himself before we left. That night I was upstairs alone. The couch in the living room was my designated sleeping area. I'd been sleeping when I heard the ding on my grandmother's typewriter. I woke up groggy, and the light to her study was on. I thought it was strange because it was after midnight and the rest of the house was a still silence. I listened and could hear typing, and then ding. I called out for my dad and nothing. I got up, and as I walked down the hallway towards the study, listening to the typewriter, I could hear my grandmother humming. I ran down the hall and down the stairs and woke my dad up, telling him someone was in Grandma's study typing. My dad told me it wasn't true, and I insisted that he go upstairs. He went up the stairs, and I crept cowardly behind him. The light to the study was on. He heard the ding of the typewriter. Then as he approached the door, the light went out. We were in the hallway, and darkness was surrounding us. He reached in and turned on the light. It was just as it had been left. Not a thing out of place. When I returned to my home, I wrote to my cousin explaining what I had heard and seen. She wrote me back telling me it wasn't just me. She tried to sleep in Grandma's room, but it felt so strange. She had to move to the couch and awoke to the study light and the sound of the typewriter, too. She also mentioned that she and Grandpa I've been downstairs and come up once to find the sliding glass door open about a foot. My grandma was always in her study writing a book. I have no doubt that she was present in her study and coming and going through the sliding glass door as usual. I haven't heard or seen her since that day. I'd like to believe she finished what she needed to do and moved on to greater things.
You know, there was something she mentioned in the beginning of the story about a letter that was given to her that she never opened.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wonder if maybe that was the point of dinging the typewriter.
Like, go open the letter?
Like, kind of a reminder of, I did this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if she handwrote it or if she typed it, but I don't know. I just wonder if maybe there was a message that was supposed to be given.
I want to know what's in the letter.
Well, I don't necessarily need to know what's in the letter. I just think maybe the message that was trying to be conveyed was to look at that or something.
Sure. Well, I mean, I want to know what's in the letter if there's something pertaining to the story is how I meant it.
Oh.
Like if there's some sort of connection there
or
like some, you know, I don't know, like it could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think there is some sort of connection to that. The fact
trying to, you know, remind everybody of that for some reason.
Good story. Thank you for sharing that. Abigail writes in, my family and I moved into our current house back in 2006. It was an old house, about 100 years old at the time, and it required a lot of construction. I didn't know this then, but I have heard that construction on old structures can disturb otherwise dormant energies. I was never told the following things until I was a little older and until I had started experiencing my own odd experiences. I was, for the most part, unaware. It started as faint scents of old perfume, or more frequently, the smell of a burning cigar that my parents would notice while working on the interior of our house. They thought it was strange, of course, but didn't think much of it since they were ripping out walls and moving old furniture that could host old odors. The first unexplainable event happened a few months after we moved in. My father and my uncle had ripped out the floors in front of our old front door, so the rest of the family was outside on the front lawn while they replaced the wood. I remember my father approaching me while I played with the neighbor's daughter and asking me if I had somehow gotten inside and changed in front of his bedroom window. Of course, I said no and continued playing. Later on, I learned that while my entire family was outside, my father had walked around to the front of the house and saw the silhouette of a woman changing in the window. He'd asked everyone if they had somehow gotten inside and upstairs, but no one could confirm that they had. Another thing that happened before I started to become aware of the strange atmosphere in our house happened while my siblings and I were sleeping over at my grandparents' house and my parents were alone. It was late at night and they were in bed watching TV. All of a sudden, there was a loud banging on the stairs outside of their door. My dad likened it to a heavy animal running up and down the stairs. He got up to check, but there was no one there. Of course, this is before we got our dog, which becomes important to the stories later. So, there was no explanation for what they heard. When I got a little older, maybe around 9 or 10, I started to realize that there was something different about our house. The first thing I can remember happened when I was alone folding clothes in my room. I had the radio on and I was singing aloud to myself. All of a sudden, I got the weirdest feeling that there was someone in my room with me, watching me. I even felt compelled to call out to see if someone or something would answer. Of course, nothing did, and I eventually went back to folding my clothes and brushed it off as nothing. A few years later, I had come home from school and was sitting at our dining table. I was the first of my siblings to get home, so I decided to sit and wait for someone to show up. All of a sudden, the floorboards above my head began to creak. It sounded as if someone was taking deliberate steps above my head, traveling from room to room. I listened, slightly terrified, as someone walked from my room to the bathroom and into my parents' room over and over again. I called up to my brother and sister a few times, but no one answered. This carried on for 5 minutes or so before it eventually ceased. A few moments after the house regained its silence, my siblings walked through the front door. A day or so after this, I was in bed late at night trying to fall asleep. Although it was only creaking floorboards, I was still a little nervous from the day before. I was completely buried under layers of protective blankets, as young kids tend to do, and I had left my door wide open in order to let in the light from the hallway. It was around midnight when I heard the distinct sound of the refrigerator door opening and closing. Now, my doorway is directly across from the stairway, and my siblings and parents sleep on the second level with me, so if someone was to leave their room, travel downstairs and into the kitchen, I would have seen and heard them. As far as I was aware, everyone else in the house was asleep. Next, it was the cabinet doors that were being opened and closed. At this point, I got up and ran into my parents' room to tell my father that someone was downstairs. Begrudgingly, he got up and did a quick sweep of the downstairs area, and finding nothing, went back to bed. A few minutes later, when I'd settled back into my bed, I heard the noise again. I shot out of bed and persuaded my father that there had to be someone in the kitchen. Again, he got up and searched the downstairs for any sign that someone had been there. Finding nothing, he went back to bed and told me to do the same. At this point, I was scared out of my mind. Luckily, my dog, Tucky, had found his way into my room and lay down on his usual spot next to my bed. A few months later, I heard the distinct sound of our wooden dining room chairs being dragged across our unpolished wooden floors. As the noises continued, I laid still in my bed, knowing that I would be told to go back to sleep if I woke up my father again. Instead, I put my fingers in my ears and hoped that it would stop. It wasn't long until my dog jumped up and trotted over to the top of the stairs. He was staring at the bottom with his ears perked and his body tense as if he was hearing the same things I was. He stayed there for a while, watching the bottom of the stairs as if he could see something I couldn't. That night left me sleeping completely submerged under layers of blankets for a year. The last and probably most significant thing to happen to me at this house managed to convince even my skeptical father that we were not alone. It was a Saturday afternoon and my siblings and I were sitting around the dining table and talking to my mother. Somehow we got onto the topic of paranormal and how our house could potentially be haunted. My mother came up with the idea that we should do an EVP using the recording device on my iPod. We placed it in the center of the table and half-jokingly explained to whatever entity that might be present that we would be asking them questions and if they chose to answer to speak directly into the device in the center of the table. My mother was the one asking the questions, and they ranged from, "Who are you?" to, "Do you know who we are?" As far as we could tell, there was no interaction. It wasn't until we listened to the recording that we heard an answer. The very last question that my mother asked was, "Did you live in this house when it was called Hardscrabble?" Hardscrabble was the name of our town until about 100 years ago when they renamed it Red Hook. At the very end of the recording, if you turn the volume all the way up, you can hear a man's voice whisper, "Hardscrabble." Everyone who was in the house at the time was around that table with us, and the only person who was talking was my mom. We even ran it past Dad to make sure we weren't hearing something that wasn't there. When he came home from work, we told him to listen to the whole recording without telling him what it was or which question had been answered. When the recording got to the very last question, my dad heard an answer. I remember him spinning around with a shocked expression on his face and asking if he had just heard someone whisper, "Hardscrabble." That was the last time anything happened to me or my family, as far as I know. After a while, we just assumed that whatever or whoever it was had moved on. Da-da-da.
Da-da-da. Well, I think it's not really an entity that means to do harm or good. I think it's just going about life 100 years ago.
I like how it answered it with not just a yes or a no, but like a very definitive, you know, word that otherwise, right. You know, it has meaning mm-hmm. to it. I mean, you could, you know, when you hear the yes and the no, sometimes you can kind of write that off a little bit where it's like, oh, someone, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's picking up someone else, you know, right. Just kind of mouthing things unconsciously and whatever, for whatever reason, the whisper got out and onto the tape. But something like that,
right?
That's pretty definitive. I like how they had the dad go and listen to it afterwards. Just like, hey, tell me what you think. That was cool. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please consider supporting it and helping to keep us on the air. You sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person, up on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Get all of our bonus episodes, more than 80 of them, and exclusive video content as well. That's all part of being an EPP. And like I said, that's what funds this thing and keeps it alive. JC writes in, "Hello, my favorite podcast hosts. I wrote in last about a year ago, but something happened back in October. I figure you'd like to hear about it. In the spirit of Halloween, my boyfriend and I spend every weekend in October taking mini trips to haunted locations near us. We live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, so plantations like the Myrtles and Oak Alley are only about an hour drive. We also visited King's Tavern in Natchez, Mississippi, which was very, very cool. Anyway, on to my story, which occurred while we were at the Myrtles Plantation. We're being given the tour with about 20 or so other folks, so each room we entered, the group was rather cramped. We were in the dining room, and my boyfriend was standing directly behind me, no more than 6 inches. I had my arms folded, and his hands were in his pockets. A tour guide was telling us about the dining room when I felt a poker nudge on the lower right side of my back. I thought my boyfriend was trying to get my attention, so I turned my head and said, 'What? Did you nudge me?' And he said he hadn't. I immediately shrugged it off. It wasn't until a few days later we were talking about it that he admitted he thought I was screwing with him when I asked if he'd touch me, you know, because we were in a haunted house. I told him that no, I hadn't fooled around, and it was in that moment that we both realized that something else had poked me. I figured it couldn't have been anyone standing near us because there was so little room between the two of us. He at least would have seen their arm move or their hand or have been touched himself. I immediately shuddered at the thought of something otherworldly having touched me and was just thoroughly creeped out. We've been to that plantation a few times and nothing strange has ever happened before, so I thought you guys would like that story. I've heard things and seen things before, but until that night at the Myrtles, I never felt anything. I love you guys and your show. Thanks for reading, and have a lovely day."
That sounds familiar.
It does. You had something very, very similar to that happen at the Haunted Winery a long time ago.
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking of.
Oh, what one were you thinking of?
The airport.
Oh, yes, here.
Mm-hmm.
When we were filming the Spirits in the Air thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's up on the EPP site, in case you'd like to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we mentioned that in the film at all?
I don't think we did, because yeah. I didn't want it to be like, oh, and you know, we happen to have something.
Sure.
I didn't want it to be like, dude, bro,
you didn't
something
want to ghost,
poked me.
You didn't want to ghost adventure it up?
I didn't. So I just thought, we'll just save that for later. And I don't know if we shared it or not.
We did.
Okay.
I remember we did talk about it on the air.
Okay.
But yeah, why don't you say what happened exactly?
Well, we were interviewing the director of the museum, the director at the time. And you were kind of standing by the camera, kind of behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turn and I look at you, and you know, just like she said, I thought you were messing with me.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't. Something tapped me on the shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, and we weren't like right on top of each other either.
I mean,
it was like a good couple feet away. But I mean, if I wanted to, I guess I could have reached over and tapped you, but I didn't.
No,
that was, and I knew what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
Without you even saying it, because you looked at me like nothing paranormal had happened, just like you know, what did you want my attention for?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of shook my head because he was recording and saying something at the time, and that's when I just like, all right, something tapped her.
Yeah, fun times.
It was a fun time. And you were tapped at the haunted winery too a long
time
ago.
No, my ass was groped at the winery.
Your ass was groped at the winery.
Yeah. A little different.
I never heard it described quite like that.
Well, yeah.
I you said like something grabbed you.
Well, I was standing there filming you.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, I've started to feel like something come up and like pushing on my
mm-hmm.
behind. And of course, at the time, Livy was only 3, so she was right at that height.
Sure.
And I even turned around to kind of motion for her to not, you know, do that.
Because
I thought it was just her rubbing up against me or hanging on to my pockets or something. No, she's across the winery with your mom. And then when we analyzed the video later that you had done, that it fuzzed out right when that happened.
So does these occurrences make you want to go do more things like that?
No.
Or does it make you not, like, just rather not go out and interview? Because we're not, like, really investigating. It's more so we're just, like, interviewing people.
You were just interviewing based on, I mean, mm-hmm. the airport being haunted, we knew was a thing. But the winery, we'd heard it was haunted, but you were doing a video for a whole different reason.
Sure.
So it doesn't make me want to just go out and seek more mm-hmm. paranormal activity. I think that, you know, I've had enough to prove to me for sure
that there's something
mm-hmm.
there. The ass grabbing ghosts.
That annoyed me.
Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey guys, I've been listening to your show for about a week now, and I have a story I want to share. It's about my grandfather. By the way, my name is Sam, and I'm from Palmdale, California. So anyway, my grandfather, we called him Grandpa Joe, and I never really got to know him at my age because he died when I was very young, and I think he died of cancer. I don't really remember all that well, but that's neither here nor there. So the story is, I recently moved into an apartment with my mom, and while we were in the process of moving, a few times this had happened. My grandfather, as I've been told, used to smoke cherry or strawberry tobacco pipe stuff. I don't really know the correct term, but anyway, and I had smelled it a few times around the house. I remember specifically one time I had made a remark. I made a joking remark like, hey, Grandpa, I think I said that just jokingly. And about 5 minutes later, I began to smell cherry tobacco pipe. I began to smell cherry tobacco. And I got freaked out, and I ran to my mom. I was like, Mom, you know, there's cherry tobacco pipe. Like, I smell it. Come here. And she comes into the room, and she remembered smelling it, too. And it was crazy, you know. And it had happened a few more times. But the real reason, you know, what really kind of scared me a little bit was that around, I would say, 4 a.m., we were, you know, like I said, we were in the process of moving, and I was having anxiety really bad for, I don't want to say no reason, but it's worse anxiety than I've gotten in the past. And I woke up at 4 a.m., and maybe my mind was wandering, but, you know, who knows? So I had to go, you know, I woke up to go to the bathroom, and when I came out of the bathroom, I saw a figure standing at the end of my old house's hallway, because I just got this feeling that something other than my mom was in the house that I previously had lived in. And I went out of the bathroom, and instead of, you know, just going back in my room and going back to bed, I actually looked down the hallway, and I saw a figure, what appeared to be the silhouette of a man, an older man, and I got, like, freaked out. I didn't go get my mom, which I should have done. I instead ran back into my room and shut the door and basically stayed up pretty much the entire night, and just kind of watched my door. And the entire time I felt like I was being watched, you know. I felt like there was another presence here with me. But that's what really freaked me out. And, you know, there had been other little things that happened. You know, a cabinet would shut. I would hear a door open and then close. You know, just little other stuff would happen. But that's pretty much the story. It's not the scariest, you know, thing that I've heard on your guys' podcast. I've been listening to it on Spotify for about a week and a half, and I'm hoping to become an EPP soon. I just need to get some more cash, and then I'll do it. So, thanks for listening, and I'll call in again with more stories soon. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I think if I had just moved into an apartment and figured out that things weren't quite right that day, I'd have severe anxiety too.
Uh-huh.
Because there's no getting out of that, at least for most people. You know?
Yeah, I think that would be a difficult call to the landlord or the front desk or whoever, you know, however that's set up. And be like, yeah, I know I just signed that agreement and everything, but there's nothing in here about this place being haunted.
Yeah, and especially sharing it with mom. So what mm-hmm. are you going to do, leave mom there by yourself with the ghost?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, then you're sitting there and you're worrying and you're thinking, is this going to be an everyday thing? Is this going to be an every night thing? How is, you know, mm-hmm. you can go in a thousand directions with that yeah. one. So I don't blame him for feeling that way whatsoever. It was a good story.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to this caller. Hi.
Hello. I guess my story began when I was 29 years old. My mother died in a car accident, and we weren't told much about exactly what happened. So even part of her death certificate was blackened out with a magic marker. So us, the family members, weren't exactly 100% sure as to what really happened to her. We believe she had some kind of a diabetic attack. But the ironic part is she was given a clean bill of health 3 days prior to the accident. So anyway, we weren't exactly sure what had happened. So immediately after her passing, for 2 full weeks, my father, my ex-husband, and myself, we were sitting in the kitchen, and we would constantly hear footsteps going up and down the basement stairs. You could hear the sound of a person wearing high heels, and that was something my mom used to wear. She would wear these heels, and you could hear it banging around the basement. So not only that, but my father also experienced weird things, like he went to the refrigerator to get a drink, and all of a sudden the ice cubes just started shooting out of the ice maker and hitting him, and they were shooting across the room. So my father was kind of freaked out, but he didn't, you know, really didn't talk about it much. When he went in, the washing machine was another thing that used to turn on by itself. It was very strange. The noises and all the stuff went on for about 2 weeks, And then all of a sudden, it all stopped abruptly. Everything was over. And then about 5 years later, I was having a bad day, and I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I was really missing my mother. I was sitting at that table, and I just kept summoning for her. I kept repeating over and over, "Mom, I miss you. Mom, I wish you were here. I wish you were here to help me through this bad day. I wish I could just talk to you again." And nothing happened. Everything was normal. Then the next day, it was about 11 o'clock, I woke up. The birds are chirping. The sun's out. It's a beautiful, peaceful day. So I walk into the kitchen, and I have some cats that I was going to feed. So I was getting food out of the cupboard. And as I turned around to set the food dishes on the floor, my mother's picture flew off the refrigerator and landed face up in front of my face. It was right at my feet. I lived in that house on and off for over 25 years, and nothing like that had ever happened. My roommate and I spent about 10 minutes trying to rip that photo off the refrigerator. I hit that photo. I tried flipping it off the fridge. We tried hitting it with stuff. We did everything we could, and that picture never fell. I guess then after that instant, that's when everything started to change. My life became very crazy with all the stuff that was going on. I was experiencing severe paranormal activity in my home. My kitchen cupboards and my drawers would all open up. I woke up one morning and every cupboard and every single, you know, door, drawer, everything in my entire kitchen was wide open. I didn't think anything of it. I just closed everything and went back on, you know, with my day. I would hear footsteps running across my attic. I kept hearing dripping noises, like there was water dripping, and it would be a beautiful sunny day. Whenever I'd go up an attic, it would never make the noises. I could hear footsteps walking around in my basement all the time. The washing machine would always turn on by itself. You could hear the button clicking in, and you could hear the clicks as the machine handle was turning. You could also hear the washer and open. You could hear open and close, like water pouring into the washing machine. You could hear it physically open and close. Like, here's a story. I woke up one morning, I was going to do some laundry, and my roommate was in the bed sleeping, only I didn't know that. I thought he was downstairs doing laundry. So I get up, and I run down there because I was going to, you know, get my clothes together, and then I hear the washing machine. I hear the water turn on. I hear the washing machine door open and close. So I run down there, and there was nothing. My roommate was in bed sleeping, and there was no reason for the washer to be on by itself. There was another instance where I was in my bathroom and I heard the kitchen sink water, just full blast. Like somebody went into the kitchen and just flipped on the handle and the water was full blast. So I walked out of the bathroom. I was a little nervous. I didn't know what to expect because nothing like that ever happened before. When I walked out, the water from my refrigerator, I have one of those water lines. It was shooting straight across the room. My entire ceiling, all my walls, my floors, my sink, everything was totally dripping, sopping wet, soaked with water. The walls, ceiling, everything. So I ran out of the house and I went over to the bar. I had a drink. Okay, figured I'm going to calm down and I'll go back to the house. And it was maybe an hour later, I go back to the house, and the kitchen was bone dry, like it never even happened. It was really bizarre. I also had a few people living at my house at one time. My niece was living with me. She apparently had experienced tons of paranormal activity when I wasn't there. I guess one night I was sleeping in my bed, and her and her boyfriend were in her room, and I guess they heard doors opening and slamming, and the drawers of my bed. I have drawers underneath my bed, and I guess she looked into my room when she was hearing these noises, and she said that my drawers underneath my bed were opening and slamming, but apparently I didn't wake up because I didn't hear it. I sleep pretty heavy. So anyway, I asked my niece the next day why she never woke me up, and one, she was too terrified to even go in the room, and two, she said I was sleeping and thought I would be okay. So she never woke me up. But anyway, she said she could hear my closet door open and banging shut. There was one night where me and my niece were sitting in the kitchen. She's at the table, and I was in my bedroom. All of a sudden, we hear this huge crash in the basement. Okay, so we fly down into the basement. I grab my camera, and I'm snapping pictures on my camera in the dark. Every picture that I snapped came out crystal clear. The lights were on right in the room. And I actually had pictures of faces on the shelf with streaks going across where everything on my niece's shelf went flying across the room. She had stuff that went, you know, 5 or 6 feet on the other side of her bed, which is virtually impossible in the world of physics. It just doesn't happen. Okay? So anyway, so there was another instance where I had 6-inch cement screws holding in a shelf that had been there for over 20 years, and there was nothing on this shelf. Well, my boyfriend and I are sitting on the couch. All of a sudden, the shelf comes crashing out of the wall and flies across the room. We hear this big bang. We didn't know what it was. So we get up off the couch. We go running down the stairs. And sure enough, that shelf was sitting on the floor outside of the room. No explanation. It's virtually impossible. You know, we experienced some other things in the house. This stuff kind of went on for a while. I got a camera, a digital camera, and I started taking pictures everywhere. I have pictures of probably hundreds of orbs in my house. I started having really weird dreams where it seemed like I was awake, but I really wasn't. I would see people in my dream open up my door and walk through my living room, but there would never be anybody there. I would see it in my dream only. It was very strange. And then I couldn't determine if I was dreaming or if you have a dream in a dream. Well, I started having those, like a dream inside of a dream where I'd wake up and still be in a dream and then wake up and everything would seem real, but it didn't. It was really strange. So as time went on, the paranormal activity became much worse in my house. The lights wouldn't work sometimes, and it was only when certain people were in certain rooms. It was very strange. So, you know, my niece and I did like a little EVP session, and every question that we had asked, we wrote down all the questions, we wrote down all the answers, and we kept the papers for the longest time. We would hear things like, we were asking it, what happened, why did you do this, and it kept saying it was trying to kill somebody, and we were asking, who are you trying to kill, who are you trying to kill, and it wouldn't answer when I would speak. So my niece asked the question and said, are you trying to hurt somebody? And it said, kill, on the EVP. And she said, who are you trying to kill? And it said, aunt. So naturally, I was a little freaked out, and that was the end of that. So we shut the EVP off, and that ended that session. So anyway, basically, there was another time where my niece, myself, and my roommate were sitting in the kitchen. And I'm taking pictures. And everything was normal. There was no weird stuff going on in the house at all. Well, when I examine the pictures, there's a girl sitting on my kitchen counter, and you can see her crystal clear. She has dark hair. She's very young. She's a very pretty girl. I did some research, and I tried to find who this person is or what was going on, and still to this day, I have no idea what was going on in my home. I know that the people that are in my home now are having a lot of problems and are experiencing a lot of crazy things, and, you know, they're basically going through a really rough time because of all this horrible stuff that's going on in my house. And basically, that's really what happened. And I left that house. I don't live in that house anymore. So basically, that's part of my story. I don't know what else to say, but my name is Tammy. And
there you go.
There you go. You know, it sounds like several things are going on as far as different entities. I don't think mm-hmm. it's all one thing. We've talked a number of times about when people, you know, are killed in a car accident or some kind of accident like that, that we almost feel like they're more prone to
coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't sure how to say that because I hate to say that to our listeners who've lost loved ones in car accidents. But I think anytime you have a sudden death, that mm-hmm. that energy is more likely to be around.
I think you're right. I mean, it's and almost anything that's, you know, very unexpected, sudden, that you're not prepared for. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you're just taken out.
Right.
You know, just regular old day. And then that were to happen, I think you not only have your odds of them coming back, not only to where you may be, but I think that can also increase the odds of something or someone still being in the area of wherever that event took place.
Yeah, I agree.
So what do you make of the water on the walls and just the, you know, the mess that she saw? Stressed out, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling very real.
Yeah.
You know, oh my God, what am I going to do here? I need a moment to kind of, you know, get myself back together. Goes away, comes back, and nothing is wrong.
Yeah, I think, well, obviously, you know, when I said we're probably dealing with multiple entities, I don't think Mom's ghost is doing that by any means.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that's a good spirit that's doing things like that. And, you know, I don't know if it's like a, you know, one of those instances where you go back like 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and everything's the way it was 5 minutes prior, or if it's a situation of here, everything's going to be a mess, and then all of a sudden it's going to be totally fine. You know, I don't know if it's a wrinkle in time or just a ghost messing with her.
Like one of those things, I mean, it makes you then start to ask the question of, okay, did that really happen? Or was that something that whatever was trying to mess with her was just projecting towards her for her to see, you know, or did this actually happen and then somehow it got reversed?
And I think that could be part of one of the most frustrating types of hauntings is when it's, you know, geared just towards you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to where you question your own, you know, senses. What did
sure.
I see? Did I really hear that? You know, and nobody else sees or hears anything.
Yeah, I agree. It's a question that no one will ever really be able to answer.
Mm-mm.
It's just one of those things that it's probably somewhat of the intention, though, too, of whatever's doing it, is to make, you know, you that confused and scared and frustrated, and that's all part of it. Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Like I said earlier, if you like the show, please consider supporting it and helping to keep us on the air, becoming an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. Excuse me, get the bonus episode every single week of the show, all of the bonus ones that currently exist, more than 80 of them, and so much more. Check it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.